Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, our guest is going to be a return. Her name is Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. And we're going to be talking about Open Checkbook to ROI and what I learned along the way. And we're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, we're going to be talking with Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, you know, Joy, I should say welcome back to the show, right? You were on here about a year and a half ago, and you did so well and had such a good response. We want you back.
Well, thank you.
No, that's great.
Delighted to be here.
Well, I appreciate it. And you're out in Texas, correct?
I am. I'm in Dallas, Texas, where our headquarters is.
No, that's fantastic. So, you know, before we get started here, because we're going to be talking today about, and I love the topic, Open Checkbook to ROI and what I learned along the way. By the way, if you ever feel like opening that checkbook a little bit, we'll be more than happy to help you spend that. But having said that, you know, I'd love to hear all about Omni Hotels. Tell us a little bit about the operation. Tell us a little about, you know, you, and give us an overview.
So Omni Hotels, it started off as Dunphy Hotels, a New England-based company many, many years ago. And it was acquired in 1996 by a Texan, Bob Rowling. We're 60 hotels. We have about 22,000 associates. The company is very unique in the hotel space because we own and operate our assets. So most of our competitors are managing hotels for either banks or investment companies or other owners. And we are owner-operator, so we control our destiny. We can take a very long-term view of the business, which is great. And we've got a lot of exciting things going on. We are building a hotel in Frisco, Texas right now with the Dallas Cowboys, which will be attached to their new training facility. We are building a hotel right now in Louisville, Kentucky. And we are also building a hotel in Atlanta that will be attached to the new Braves Stadium. So we've got a lot of exciting projects underway, and business is booming, and we're a very balanced company in that we have as our foundation, our trilogy is to satisfy the needs of our guests, our associates, and our owners. So we make decisions with those three constituents in mind. And because we're an owner, that foundation doesn't change if business is bad. It's always our mantra and our operating philosophy, no matter what, because we are in charge of our own destiny. So we're very unique in that way.
Well, you know, you cover a lot of territory, and you predominantly run four diamond hotels, correct? Is that what we're talking about, predominantly?
Mostly four.
Yeah.
Mostly four.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. The diamond rating system doesn't mean as much as it used to because everybody's looking at TripAdvisor. So we, while we are very proud of our four diamond rankings and our J.D. Power Awards, we really work very hard to make sure that we are ranked very high on TripAdvisor because that's where people are looking before they book.
What a difference some technology makes, isn't it?
In how
people look at things and what organizations and what people look for when they're going out to travel, really, across the globe, and especially in Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., where you guys are located.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, you said that, obviously, that you have it's a family-owned business, correct?
Yes.
That's fantastic. You don't see too many large operations like this still owned by a family. How did you join the organization?
Well, it's a very funny story. It's funny now that I can tell it in retrospect. But I was with Dunphy for my whole career out of college, worked for them for 18 years, and had worked my way up to the top HR job, which at the time was called the SVP of HR. And in 1996, the company was for sale, and all of the big brands were looking at us, and there was an oil and gas company out of Corpus Christi, Texas, looking at us. And we were all rooting for the oil and gas company because we said they don't know anything about hotels, they're going to need us. And the day that Mr. Rowling bought the company, he fired 45 people, and I was one of them. And it was pretty shocking, but he wanted to balance the company. We had always had the trilogy. We were very strong in customer and associate, but not very profitable. And so I left. I went to Carnival, which was a very fun experience. And then 2 years later, the owner called me back and said, I made a mistake. Would you ever talk to me again? So that was in January 1st, 1998. I came back, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. As I said, we can laugh about it now, but at the time it was pretty devastating, not because I wasn't expecting it, because I know that happens in transitions, but I just had so much affection for the company and what it stood for, and so it was very hard to leave. But I got to miss the part where a lot of things got dismantled, and I came back when the owner was ready to embrace a different kind of culture.
So talk about that culture, because one of the things we're going to be talking about today is really, the organization talks about pillars of culture, and in your case, it's the guests, it's the associate, and it's the owner. Talk a little bit about, the challenges the organization was facing, that, obviously the owner realized he had made a mistake. What were you facing at that point? What were you facing at that time from an engagement standpoint, from a retention standpoint, everything across the board?
Well, again, we joke about it now, but back then, because they needed to get the financials in order, people would call Bob bottom line Bob. And so the owner side of the trilogy was really what was being focused on and not the associate side. So there was a lack of development programs and training programs and recognition programs. And a lot of the leaders that had been brought in, during that transition were not necessarily people that were balanced. And so we made a very strong effort to say, okay, we're going to listen to the voice of the associate. So we're going to do an engagement survey, and we're going to have it count in the manager's bonus. So there's teeth in it. We are already looking at customer feedback. Let's put that in the compensation system so that it has teeth in it. We dusted off a lot of programs that we had already had with Dunphy, but we evolved them and really pushed internal promotion. So you really, when we had a job opening, we looked very, very hard at the internal candidates. Even if they didn't have the experience, we decided we're going to give people a chance, throw them in the water, let's see if they can swim, and we have the tools to back them up. So we really changed some of our key focus, and the internal development efforts have really, really paid off. We've looked at the data, and the managers that we promote and that are leading Omni Hotels right now, they have higher engagement results, they have higher customer results, they have higher RevPAR results. They understand the way we look at the world, which is, I'm an owner, this is my business, what's the best thing for my business long term? Not how do I get a quick return for somebody sitting in another city. It's how do I make the best decision for the long-term health of the business.
And there's no question that it is this balanced approach that has made the organization very successful, right? I mean, it's because it really isn't one focused approach. It's an approach based upon all three key ingredients, if you want to call it, to success.
Yes, and we put a lot of skin in the game because it is easy to go into a company and cut your way to profitability. And one of my favorite stories, we had opened Omni San Diego, and the general manager ran like 63% flow 1 month. And the president called him and said, don't ever do that again. And Ed was like, what are you talking about? And he said, the only way to get that much profit is if you are having managers cover shifts, or you're not buying linen, or you're not buying china, or you're cutting the service experience somewhere. Don't ever do that again. And that was a watershed moment. I think another, because that went around the company. That story went around the company. The other thing that I think was really telling for me was right after 9/11, a lot of people weren't traveling, and they certainly weren't traveling to upscale hotels if they were. And a small group of us came up with some contingency measures to try to be good stewards of the business. And it was things like, let's take the fresh fruit out of the health clubs. Let's take the fresh flowers out of the lobby. We don't need a concierge. We had a whole bunch of ideas to save some money. And our owner said, what are you doing? He said, I don't want to do any of this. He said, this will end. People will eventually be traveling. I don't want to be clawing myself out of a hole. We're just going to stick with our mission. And we were in a financial position to do so. And that set us apart. And I really think that we have been winning J.D. Power more than any other brand in our division. And I think it's honestly because of watershed moments like that.
No, there's no question that I think one of the key areas you said is, you know, the financial stability of the company, right? So
Yes. There's
a lot of things that can be done when you're stable.
Yes.
And a lot of owners and a lot of operators take a look at that and they say, okay, sometimes, as you said, it's a balancing act between, you know, sometimes you've got to rob from Peter to pay Paul. That's just how
right.
The balances work sometimes. But if you take care of the operations and you are doing it when you're doing well, and you're not just, if you're as careful when you're doing well as when you're not, you're more often able to take care of the downtimes.
Yes. No, that's very true. And I think that, you know, what's important to us is that the guest experience is right. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that in a very uptime, they will say, oh my gosh, look at all the money we're making. Let's put all this money aside, where we're putting the money back into the company. And our owner's putting the money back into the company. And the company has grown, but it really has, we haven't lost who we are. And we're constantly pushing the envelope on who's our customer, what are they looking for, what are the things that are going to make a difference in their stay, and let's make sure that those things are correct.
No, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, we're talking with Joy Rothschild, Chief HR Officer at Omni Hotels and Resorts, and we're really talking about, you know, ROI, return on investment, especially when you're talking about culture, that return on investment. And in a few minutes, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the path and how you can do that for your organization. But, Joy, tell me a little bit about your background. You know, where are you from? You know, tell me a little bit about how did you get into HR?
So I grew up in Peabody, Massachusetts. I spent all my summers in Maine. My grandfather had a boys' camp in Casco, and I was there until I was about 9. And then I went to a girls' camp, and then I was a counselor. But I went to University of New Hampshire, and I got my hotel degree, and I ended up going to New Orleans right out of school. I had an offer from the Dunphys to go to Chicago, but there was a company that was coming to the campus. They were going to hire the first female maitre d' ever to be in this very traditional and elegant New Orleans restaurant. And they came up in a Rolls Royce, and I got wooed away, and I took the job. in New Orleans, and my professors all said, "What are you doing? This is crazy. You don't even like food and beverage." But I was flattered. So I went, and after 2 weeks, I realized I made the biggest mistake of my life. And I called Dunphy, and I said, "Can I go back to my job in Chicago?" And they said, "No, but we just bought a hotel in, or we just took over a hotel in New York, not bought. We're managing a hotel in New York." So my vision of Dunphy was these small inns and very small niche boutique hotels, historic hotels. So I fly to New York from New Orleans. I pull up to the Statler, and it was a 1,800-room dump. And I am walking through the lobby saying, "Please, God, do not have a reservation for Joy Lesser." Well, they had one. And I worked in that hotel for 3 years, and I worked in many different departments, fell in love with HR, and they eventually promoted me to the Sheraton. It was the Sheraton Inn in South Portland, Maine. It was those round...
Of course, yeah, the round tubes, yeah, over by the mall.
Yeah, the round tubes. Yep. Now, when I went up there, there was only one tube, and the main mall, I think Jordan Marsh was the anchor store.
Yeah, yeah,
it was a long time ago. But we opened the second tube, and I was the HR director. I had nobody else on my team, so I had to do everything and touch everything, and it was great because I learned a lot. And then I went to the Parker House in Boston. I was the HR director there, and then I became an area HR director, and then they pulled me up to the corporate office in Hampton, New Hampshire, to create some programs that are still pillars of our culture, the Power of One, Omni Service Champions, Omni Management Development. And while I was in that office, the SVP of HR decided to take a different career path, and they put me in the role, and I was shocked. But it was kind of a theme in my career where every job I had, I was probably wasn't ready for, but someone gave me a chance and let me grow into it. And so I've carried that philosophy in the way that I staff jobs as well. I think you're never going to be completely prepared for a job, and you got to give people a chance and see if they can swim.
And we're talking with Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB at 100.5 FM, and you will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOP 100.5 FM. And today we're talking with Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. And we're very excited because she's talking about open checkbook to ROI and what I learned along the way. Joy, you know, we talked a little bit about in the first segment. We talked a little bit about Omni Hotels, talked a little about how you've worked your way up through the organization and how culture was such an important part of the change that was happening there. Let's go down that path if we could. You know, I think one of the questions that people always ask themselves is, how do you really sometimes know what the definition of success is? A lot of people say, hey, I know it when I see it. But how do you strategize for that path?
You know, I think that when you have a foundation, so I already said earlier, our trilogy is we want to satisfy customers, satisfy associates, satisfy the owner. That's our definition of success. So if we're missing a leg of the trilogy, if we have a property or a department where we're not satisfying the customer, we have to stop and say, okay, what's the goal? The goal is customer satisfaction. What's stopping us from reaching the goal? And you start to dig down, whether you're asking the associates what's stopping the problem or if you can see what's stopping you from reaching the goal. That's where we start. And when you have a common definition of success as a company, I think it's easier to identify those opportunities where you might be missing it. And then you need to come up with what changes have to happen. How do we know they're going to solve the problem? Well, the way you figure that out is you test it. But I think you have to start from a foundation of this is the end game.
You know, HR professionals, as they're looking and say, okay, this is the end game, we face so many challenges to get to that point, right? How do they, how do they take the simple steps to move forward? And is it as simple as setting a timeline and working through that? Is it some, how do you get the, you know, the engagement on point to get people and understand change? Because change is hard.
Change is very hard. I think, you know, you have to articulate how the source of pain or opportunity impacts your organization. So there's really two different ways to look at it. One is this issue is causing us organizational pain, or we missed the boat in addressing this issue, and now we have to hurry up and catch up. And the easiest way to agree on something, to me, is to use data to quantify how the problem negatively impacts business results, and then use data to figure out how to solve the problem. And when you're using data, it forces you to come up with more than one solution for a problem. So you may think, okay, and I have a real-life example if you want me
to. No, that would be great. Please, yes, real life would be great, yes.
Okay, so as I told you, we look at profitability, customer satisfaction and retention, and associate engagement. And we had a hotel in Nashville, and we had less than satisfactory customer satisfaction ratings on the housekeeping part of the stay. So we asked guests, was your room clean? Was everything in working order, et cetera? And we were not having very good scores in Nashville. And so we then look at, well, why aren't the rooms as clean as they could be? And we realize that we have a lot of contract labor cleaning the rooms. And then you say, well, why is contract labor cleaning the rooms instead of employees? Well, I can't hire employees because our starting rate is too low. Okay, so then you have your goal, which is address the staffing challenges in housekeeping, which is affecting customer satisfaction. So we went back to the very beginning, which I think is a really good exercise to do, and we said, okay, let's look at the data. What was the starting rate when we opened the hotel? Well, we opened the hotel with a starting rate that was based on what the starting rate was in Dallas, Texas. So somebody looked at the budget for Dallas, Texas and said, oh, that's what they pay housekeepers in Dallas. That's what we'll pay them in Nashville. So we used that starting rate for about 6 months, and then we said, that's not working. We added 50 cents to that, and we were hoping that that would work. Well, that didn't work either. So we then looked at what are we spending on temp labor. Well, we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on temp labor. Then we looked at how many overtime hours did we have. We had 17,000 overtime hours. So clearly, when you look at the actual numbers, we open with a starting wage of $8.50 for room attendants. We moved it up to 9. That didn't help. You look at what you're paying temp labor, $12.50 an hour. That's way more than what you're paying your workers. Now, the temps are not getting the $12.50 because the temp labor companies keep a lot of it. But we were spending $12.50 an hour for 25% of our labor force. Mm-hmm. And then when you factor in the overtime, we're spending $13.50 an hour on our labor force with overtime. So then we start looking at the numbers around tenure. Now, you might say, why are you looking at tenure? Well, one of the studies that I did several years ago was I looked at And I believe in my heart that happy associates make happy customers. So I did a study where I took our associate engagement survey, and I correlated that to our customer satisfaction scores. And while our associate engagement scores are good, some of our hotels that had lower scores had very high customer satisfaction ratings. So you start looking at that, and you say, wait a minute, what's the common factor in the hotels with the highest satisfaction ratings? It's high retention. So Omni San Francisco is a Union hotel, phenomenal customer experience, lower than average engagement scores, but turnover that's about 4%. It's really the tenure that makes the customer experience. And so we said, ooh, we might have a nugget here. Well, we looked, and sure enough, the hotels with the lowest turnover had the highest customer satisfaction. So while I want to sit here and say it's the most engaged, the happiest, that really wasn't the formula for Omni. So we started looking here in Nashville at the tenure, and 80% of our guest room attendants had less than 3 years of experience, which is not going to create a good customer experience. So we said, okay, we have to do something with the pay. We looked at different models. We said, okay, we can just go from 9 to 950, but we didn't feel like that would achieve our hiring retention goals. Then we looked at a tiered system and saying, okay, you know, you start at a lower wage and you ramp up over time. We didn't feel that would help us. We thought about just giving everybody a retention bonus. So if you stay with us at a year, let's say you get $2,500. We didn't think that would help with the retention as much as we needed it to, and we really felt that changing the pay rate was where we needed to go. We also looked at a productivity-based incentive, saying, you know, the more rooms you clean, the more money you make, and we didn't feel that that would address the customer experience. So what we came up with was, we said, we're looking for people that are experienced. And so we are willing to pay for that experience. So if you show up at the Omni with over 5 years of housekeeping experience anywhere else, we're going to pay you $12 an hour. If you show up with 3 to 5 years of experience, we're going to pay you $11 an hour. And if you show up with less than 3 years of experience, we're going to pay you $10 an hour. And our model basically said, you know, temp labor is $12.50 an hour. This will still keep us under the $12.50. It will still keep us under the overtime rate. But it's going to be over $400,000 over the next 3 years, but we really think it will solve the problem. At the time that we changed the model, and we told the hotel, let's try it, let's go with it. At the time that we changed the model, we had 22 openings at Omni Nashville. 10 days later, we had filled 18 of them. If you're looking at a hotel that's gone over a year with a quarter of its staff temp labor, and we filled the positions right away. And today I can tell you, we only have 2 open positions. This has worked. And so now we know in hotels where we have high turnover, where we're using a lot of contract labor, we have a model that works. And we are in the process of putting this right now into our San Antonio market because we've got similar issues there. So it was a great example of saying, okay, we came into a market at the wrong wage rate. It caused organizational pain. We looked at many different ways to solve it. We think we came up with the right model, and it's worked, and it's sustained over time, and this is going to be the model that we use in another market.
I think what you're really talking about is how, in fact, a lot of the times companies don't necessarily think about really looking at the data. They just have a quick decision, right? They just make a quick decision. We're going to throw another 50 cents at it, another buck at it, but not really taking the time to go back and really model it out, right, and taking that time, because that does take time. But it always is. If you plan it out, if you strategically think it out, you'll always come up with a better solution than just throwing money at a situation.
Yes, and I think, too, you know, you have to think about what it looks like to the worker. So if we, you know, if you have a bunch of ladies and that are guest room attendants that have been making, you know, $9 an hour, and all of a sudden you say, okay, everybody that comes in is going to make 10, well, that is leaving a bad taste in your mouth because you've been there, you've been working. But if we're able to say to you, hey, you're in this bucket of 5 years or more experience, we're immediately bringing you to 12, and the newer people who may not have as much experience will be the ones at 10, it changes the dynamic of how people feel about their compensation. Because as much as you don't want people to talk about what they make, everybody talks about what they make.
Oh, no, and in so fact, you can't prevent it. You can't prevent it.
Right. But if there's a rationale that I feel I can stand up and look at you and explain how we came up with this, I'm not afraid to explain this. I think it makes business sense, and I think it's fair. And at the end of the day, do I think everybody there is delighted with their pay? Probably not. But it's fair, and it solved the problem, and now we're staffed, and now our medallion is going up.
You've been listening to Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and Joy Rothschild is the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. I'm David Chule, your host, and today we have a guest host, David Stearns, President of Dale Carnegie, Maine. Dave, you've heard Joy. You've heard her talking about the example she gave about engagement. I know you have a question for Joy. Go ahead.
Well, Joy, I'm just curious. This is fascinating, the data, the research that went into what looks like getting people through the door. I commend you for that. I'm curious. It's been some time. What are you doing in the way of training or organizational development to retain these people, to keep them fully engaged and keep them talking about the company so that they recruit others? What initiatives have you taken in training?
A lot. Good. And it's my favorite. It's my favorite thing we do is seeing people develop. We have, first of all, just to get new people in the door, we do pay our associates referral incentives. So if they refer someone and we hire them, we pay them cash. But we have two programs. One is called the Leader in Development, and this is for college grads who want the hotel business. They have to choose one of five disciplines. So, you know, rooms, F&B, finance, HR, sales, and marketing. They pick one of the disciplines. Mm-hmm. So it's not an exploratory, I think I might want sales or I think I might want F&B. They need to know when they show up. But we put them through the program in about 6 months, and then at the end of 6 months, they are ready for a move. We have a similar type of program, but much broader in terms of the list of job description that it covers. But let's say I'm a director of rooms, and I want to be a general manager, and I need either finance or sales and marketing. We have something called a self-directed development plan, which it's contract-based learning. We tell you these are the 60 things you need to know to be director of finance in Omni. You have to find the subject matter experts that will train you and sign off that you have learned them. And once you're done, you're certified as a director of rooms or director of finance, and we move you along.
And Joy, let me jump in here. You compensate them for that self-directed search? They can find resources and you'll pay, or you have a budget?
Yeah, so basically what happens is the people that are in the LID program, we expect them to work 10 hours of overtime a week on their training. So we pay that. And if they work more, we pay them more. The SCDP is really, it's really at a department head level, and they're on a salary, so it's not quite the same. A lot of their learning is happening while they're on the job. So if I'm the director of F&B and I want to learn to be a director of sales and marketing, you know, maybe I go to the banquet event order review meetings, or I go to more client functions in my role, or I show up when there's a really big site inspection. So that is more incorporated into your role, but the leader in development, we do compensate them for that. I think the we spend a lot of time and capital getting to know the people that are in these programs. So right now there's 77 LIDs in the company, as we call them. There's about 67 SDDPs. There's two people on my team in Dallas, and their whole purpose in life is to make sure that the programs are running well, that they interact with these people, and they provide support to these people. Mm-hmm. And so there's recognition in that way. I think the other thing, there's two other things we do that I think are really, really important in retention. And one is we have something called the Omni Circle. It started after Hurricane Katrina. We had two hotels in New Orleans. Now we have three, but many of our associates lost everything. And people around the company wanted to reach out and help them. And so we set up a foundation. You could donate your PTO time. You could give cash. You could give payroll deduction. And our owner matched it. And people could apply for grants. So, you know, I lost my home. I need money for a security deposit for a new apartment. I need $2,000. We give the money. My car is dead. I can't get to work anymore. We give the money. And we have kept that foundation going since Katrina, and we've given out close to $800,000 in grants through the Omni Circle. But it's a place for people to go when they need help. We also did something last year that I've never heard of being done in the industry. It was the most joyous and humbling event of my career. Our owner had owned the company for 20 years at that point and said he wanted to do something for people below a certain income level. So we looked at everybody who was under $50,000 who had more than 5 years of service, and they got a loyalty bonus. And these were life-changing loyalty bonuses. We gave out over $6 million. People were...
Let's talk about stick and stay, right? I think I'm going to stay with this company.
And, you know, the thing that was so amazing about it was, you know, I'm thinking, oh, people could buy a new car or they could put a down payment on a house. And the thank you notes we were getting were things like, now I can buy my daughter a new pair of sneakers for school. You know, my husband just lost his job, and we haven't been eating well. It was so humbling to get letters like that, and it was just a wonderful experience. But people see our company do that, and I will tell you, the general managers who gave those checks away will tell you it was probably the greatest day of their career to be able to do something like that.
No, there's no question. That's you don't hear that very often, right? I mean, it's not something, as you said, you hear in any industry. Occasionally you hear these, you know, these stories of organizations that have done things like that. But that is an amazing, kind gift, really, from the owner
to
the team.
And you know what? A lot of these organizations that do it, they do press about it. We did not. We're doing this because we think it's the right thing to do, and it was a wonderful thing to do. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to read about it in a magazine or a trade or anything.
Joy, that reinforces our research that says, and of course it's not new news, that the biggest disengager of employees are the relationship with the manager. Our research showed that the biggest engager is a caring manager, not just a manager, but a caring manager. And there's an example, real-life example, of how that kind of effort creates engagement.
Yes, without question.
You know, one of the things we've been talking about here, of course, and we're talking with Joy Rothschild, Chief HR Officer for the Omni Hotels and Resorts, and we're talking about, and apropos, I think at this point, open checkbook to ROI and what I learned along the way. You know, you gave an example about how you had the issue with housekeepers, right, and trying to retain mm-hmm. them, and had hotels that you weren't able to retain them at. One of the other times is sometimes regulation, right? Sometimes regulations yes. or sometimes things happen which require a business owner and HR professional to have to deal with regulations that are not necessarily at times helpful to the organization, yeah. but required, right? I mean, it's, yeah. you don't have much choice when the regulations are there. I know you dealt with one having to do with California and having to do with cell phone. So why don't you talk a little bit about that here for the next few minutes, exactly how you dealt with that issue.
Yeah, so California is one of my favorite states to operate in.
yeah, no sarcasm there at all. No yes, sarcasm.
Not at all. Although I do love our hotels in Florida, but California came up with a law last year that said employers must reimburse employees a reasonable percentage of their cell phone bill if they need to use it for work. And so we had to figure out, how do you implement this in a business where everybody carries a cell phone pretty much and everyone thinks they need their cell phone for work? And we had a very, very small population in California that we were paying for company cell phone use. And I will just tell you, philosophically, we used to pay for cell phones. And then Omni got to the point where we said, you know what, a cell phone to us is like a business suit. Everybody has one, everybody shows up, but work with one, we're going to get out of the cell phone business. So we don't typically reimburse people for cell phones. So the people that we had on cell phones, we were paying $60 a month for a stipend.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a group of people in our California hotels that basically said, oh my God, now we've got 214 people that we need to give this stipend to. And that's $155,000.
Yes, it is.
So everyone's starting to panic and what are we going to do about this? And then we call all of our competitors, and here's where it gets kind of interesting, because when you're managing someone else's money, you don't tend to look as closely at this kind of stuff. So all of our competitors basically said, anybody that's carrying a cell phone and might get a call at work, we're paying them a stipend. So basically all managers and all mission-critical employees are going to get a stipend. So we said, we just can't do that. So we could do it, but we don't think that's the right business decision. So we put people in three buckets. Well, actually, we put them in four. We said, these are people in the hotel that no one ever needs to call them, and we never need them to carry a phone. Then we had people that minimally, once in a blue moon, we might need to call you at home. Then we had moderate users, and then we had people who would need to be on call all the time. And that was mainly executives or
general managers,
people
like that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we put people into these buckets and said, okay, the people that we never have to call, we're going to tell them, we never have to call you. If you want to carry a phone, that's up to you, but we're never calling you. You're not getting any stipend. The minimal people, we gave $20 a month. The moderate people, we gave $40 a month. And then the robust people, we gave $60 a month. And we said, if you exceed these amounts and you can prove it, we're happy to pay you the overage. But this is about how much we think you're going to need to spend if we ever call you. We also said, if you're traveling out of the country or you're in a roaming area or you're a place where no other business device is available, so if you can get on your laptop, use your laptop, but if you're in a place where no other business device is available, we'll pay that too. So instead of $154,000, our new impact is like $45,000.
again, using the data to figure out exactly what is really the needs of the business, not just throwing an absolute number at something, right? I mean, it really took the time to make sure it's accurate, and you still covered your needs across the organization.
Yes, and I've had not one complaint about how we did it. And again, I want to be able to stand up in front of people and say, you may not agree with how we're doing it, but this is the rationale. We think it's fair. If you find we haven't been fair, tell us and we'll fix it.
Well, I love the open door policy. And we're talking with Joy Rothschild, Chief HR Officer at Omni Hotels and Resorts. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB at 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, we're talking with Joy Rothschild. She's the Chief HR Officer for Omni Hotels and Resorts. I'm David Chulo, your host, and our guest host today is David Stearns. Joy, we've had a great discussion today about how to really impact ROI from an HR perspective. We've talked about the culture, especially the trilogy that you use between at your hotels, the guest, the associate, and the owner. You provided some great examples, especially having to do with regulatory examples, as well as how to deal with wage issues that are creeping up across the country and how you can really look at the data to make that happen. I know David David Stearns here has another question for you in regards to engagement. So I'm going to let him ask that question now.
Well, not really engagement, Joy. I'm just curious, and I'm going back to your opening, and you said your three latest builds are in, you said one in Dallas, one in Atlanta. And I'm wondering about the strategy of the thought that went into aligning with the professional teams. That sounds like it must be on purpose. I'm just curious.
What we attempt to do in all of our new builds is aim for 75% internal promotions into the management roles. It's so much easier to turn a hotel into an Omni if you have people that know what an Omni is.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing right now, and we just announced our general manager for Frisco, who's going to be Jeff Smith, who's been with the company a long time. He's interviewing internal candidates for director of sales and marketing and director of HR, but we will fill those top roles with Omni people, and we know we're going to have a lot of our managers want to transfer into those hotels. So we are going to be beefing up our lid ranks in anticipation of managers transferring. So we're going to hire more lids than usual this year because we know that a lot of managers are going to transfer next year, and we need lids to have graduated and be ready to move in.
Nice.
And we've successfully done this in Nashville, in Dallas, in Fort Worth. You know, our new builds, we've got a formula in it, and it works. But it takes somebody specifically focused. And for 2016, I have a recruiter on my team, and her entire job is to staff these three properties, either internally or externally.
When you're looking at, you know, the staffing, as we head into the last couple minutes here, you know, we hear across the country that good people are hard to find, right? And talent, especially, is a challenge to find. What are some of the things you're doing, not only in retaining the talent, which is the best way, but in getting and extracting external talent?
What has really been a learning curve for me personally, but I am now on board, is the whole millennial factor. And, you know, 40% of my workforce is millennial. And they are not going to stay in a job for a year. They want to move like every 6 or 7 months. And as frustrating as it may be at times, if we don't do it for them, somebody else will. And so we had a general manager's conference 2 weeks ago, and I spoke to our teams about we have got to break the mold of, well, I did my job for 18 months before I got promoted, and you have to, too. We the world doesn't work that way anymore. So that's one thing. I think the second thing is the way that we are reaching out to talent now is very different. You know, we used to post jobs and everyone shows up. Now we have a whole LinkedIn strategy. We have a whole Glassdoor strategy because people are looking at social media before they apply for jobs. And if they don't see us as a caring company, they're not going to hit the widget for the application. And so we are trying to develop our employment brand on social media so that we can speak to the people that we want to speak to.
And I think that is a different strategy today, right? It's so much about preparing yourself prior to hiring and getting,
yes.
You know, I tell people all the time, you have a brand, you just may not know what it is. And,
right.
You know, if you can help shape that brand, it makes a big difference in terms of retaining and keeping great talent in an organization. Joy, I want to thank you so much for being on the call today. As always, provided great insight into what you call open checkbook for ROI and what I learned along the way. Of course, everybody after the show can go to hrpowerhour.com, and you'll get to see Joy's information. You'll get to listen to this show again in case you want to hear a nugget or two that you can take away. Again, Joy, thank you so much for being on the show today. And Dave, thank you for being a great guest host.
Well, thank you. Nice to meet you, Joy.
Nice to meet you. I enjoyed it.
Good. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
This is Robert Brooks. Let's talk about unions. During March 2016, the U.S. Department of Labor issued new regulations that have the potential to affect any business that may now or at some time in the future need legal advice on dealing with unions. The DOL's new rule expands the definition of reportable persuader activity to include most of the services traditionally performed by lawyers behind the scenes. These indirect persuader services include training supervisors and coordinating the activities of an employer during or before a union organizing campaign. The new regulations will also require the public disclosure by lawyers of money paid by clients for all labor relations advice or services. On June 27, a federal judge in Texas enjoined the new rules on a nationwide basis. But given the fact that the injunction from the Texas court is only preliminary, it's still prudent for employers to track the status of these rules since it's possible some or all of these rules may survive. For more information, please contact us at VeralDana.com.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Henry Gwickel will be our guest, the author of The Power of Proactive Recruiting. Find, attract, and retain top quality people to keep your company at the forefront of your market. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.